redacted tonight. This is the comedy show where Americans in America covering American news are called foreign agents. Yeah. So, thank you for joining me. While the entire country focuses on Trump and his buffoonery, very few seem to care that our organized murder machines continue their work around the world. That's the term I like to use instead of military, organized human murder machine. You know, that's a nice ring to it. Just kind of rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? It does. It does. Because military sounds so boring and banal, right? Military. Sounds like a super lame millipede you met at a party. Military over there is an accountant. If I hear one more capital gains tax joke, I'm going to kill myself. So let's just go on with organized human murder machine, shall we? 10 months ago, I covered how $21 trillion had gone unaccounted for at the Pentagon over the past 20 years. Don't try to think about the number 21 trillion because you'll pass out and hit your head on a desk, okay? If your salary is $40,000 a year, in order to earn $21 trillion, it would take you 525 million years. At which point you can't even enjoy the new jet ski you bought because you're a brain in a jar. Since I last brought you that report, there has been a little more coverage of it. The Nation magazine did an article, Forbes did another article, and just a few weeks ago, Matt Taibbi wrote about it in depth in Rolling Stone. Then, a few months ago, I brought you another report about the huge number of whistleblowers who have been retaliated against at the Pentagon, according to the Government Accountability Office, the GAO. But you already know all this, I've covered it before, so why am I bringing it up again? Well, now, the GAO has come out with a new report showing the total number of whistleblower complaints over the past 5 years at the Department of Defense. Sorry, organized human murder machine. And it's nearly 1,000. Wait, I'm sorry, apparently that's wrong. It's 10,000 whistleblowers. What? I'm trying to do the, what? Okay. Nearly 100,000. Come on, that's just stupid. Is this Robbie? Robbie, are you putting up numbers? Did you, dude, my man, I swear to God. Show me that. Put up the quote from the Government Accountability Office. Put it up then, if you're so sure. Robbie, I know it's not funny and I know it's a comedy show. Put up the quote. Here we go. Specifically, the Department of Defense Inspector General identified 8 substantiated violations of whistleblower confidentiality between fiscal years 2013 and 2018, representing approximately 0.01% of the 95,613 contacts handled by the Inspector General during that time. 95,000? Over 5 years. Yes, I know you were right. Shut up, I gotta show it to you. And the sad thing is the Government Accountability Office was trying to brag in that sentence. They were like, yeah, we only breached the confidentiality of 0.01% of our 95,000 whistleblower complaints. Aren't we heroes? But of course, everyone just walks away going, 95,000? That's like saying, hey man, of the 10,000 dolphins I've killed, not a single one has accidentally been a human. And you're like, well, I'm glad to hear that, but you killed 10,000 dolphins? To try to get the 95,000 number to make a little sense, that averages out to a whistleblower every 6 minutes of every business day for 5 straight years. That waiting room must be insane, all right? Must be busier than Ben and Jerry's on free cone and day. By the way, don't ask for the cone first because you will spill it. But maybe this number shouldn't be that shocking. When you have $21 trillion of unaccounted for adjustments, it means a lot of money, parts, pieces, and devices are flying around without any accountability, likely creating loads of fraud, which would probably create loads of whistleblowers. For example, there's the time in 2003, the US sent $12 billion in cash to Iraq and watched it vanish. Nearly 281 million $100 bills weighing 363 tons. Do you think some whistleblowers might have come forward to say, hey, dudes are using blocks of cash to squash mice at the Air Force Base. Is that normal or is that weird? Or here's another example. Journalist David DeGraw highlights from the Government Accountability Report. According to a Department of Defense official, during an initial audit, the Army found 39 Black Hawk helicopters that had not been recorded in the property system. $819 million in value. Similarly, the Air Force identified 478 buildings and structures at 12 installations that were not in the real property systems. The Army lost and then found 39 helicopters. The Air Force lost and then found 478 buildings. How do you lose a goddamn building? Are they moving that fast? Did you have trouble keeping track of how quickly they were running? Unless you just had a bad breakup with David f***ing Copperfield, there is no explanation for this. Dude, it must suck to divorce David Copperfield. You think you're gonna take the house? Poof. What house? Yeah, I know the kids were in there. I know. Don't worry, everyone I've made disappear has come back fine 70% of the time. You see, this madness stems from the fact that the Pentagon has a standard operating procedure of simply making up numbers to fill their books, which for normal human beings is termed fraud. Here's from a 2013 Reuters report. Linda Woodford spent the last 15 years of her career inserting phony numbers in the Department of Defense's accounts. Woodford and her colleagues were told by superiors to take unsubstantiated change actions. In other words, enter false numbers, commonly called plugs, to make the Navy's totals match the Treasury's. Have no fear. It's not lying to the American public. It's just unsubstantiated change actions. Try that on your next tax return. Put in $10,000 of unsubstantiated change actions. I'm sure they'll love that. So to sum this up, the Pentagon gets 55% of all the discretionary tax money we pay to our government. 55%. They have no idea where or how it's spent. They make up the numbers, resulting in tens of trillions of dollars of unaccounted for adjustments. They lose helicopters, buildings, and in a few instances, I'm not kidding, even nuclear warheads. Poof! What nuclear warhead? There is loads of fraud and corruption at every level, and thousands of whistleblowers have tried to come forward every single year, one every 6 minutes. When they do, over 90% of them are dismissed without even being investigated. And I can't believe we're seeing this much corruption from our organized human murder machine. All right? You would think in this topsy-turvy world, if there was one place that you could trust with $1 trillion a year of taxpayer money, it would be the Department of Unauthorized, Highly Secretive Mass Murder. Company from Washington, D.C., the Bound the Beast, and the Redaction Tonight. I'm Lee Camp. Now let's take the news from behind. We start off with the Snowden Archive, the massive trove of top secret documents that Edward Snowden leaked in 2013. It revealed to all of us that the NSA is watching all of us. The Intercept is the only outlet with the full archive, and they have done some wonderful reporting on that information. In fact, give them a round of applause. Give the Intercept a round of applause for that reporting. Well done, well done. And now, in the boldest move of all, they have decided to stop that reporting. Yes, The Intercept has shuttered the Snowden archive. No more. Well, that's okay. They've already reported on 10% of the documents, and those 10% prove that we live in a dystopian horror show in which we're all suspects held at the whim of a terrifying and all-encompassing anonymous surveillance state. So I'm sure the other 90% is probably positive stuff. or meaningless notes on whether the mess hall had chicken pot pie on Tuesdays, you know? Well, I guess this means there's only one choice. Edward Snowden, You need to sneak back into the NSA so you can re-leak the documents, this time to someone better. You have to. You have no choice. Come on, Snowden, show some bravery for once. The Intercept has said they can't keep reporting on the Snowden archive because of the cost. Ah, tell me about it. Reporting on stuff takes all this reading and then typing. Who has the time? That's probably the same reason the mainstream media hasn't reported on the fact that Israel's largest banks had to pay over $1 billion in fines for U.S. tax evasion schemes. Look, in order to show full respect to another country's cultures and customs, you try to behave in the same way they do. So that's all the Israeli banks were doing. They looked at our culture and they thought, we better commit some tax fraud on a huge scale, or else it'll seem rude. It'll seem rude. You know, you go to an Asian household, you take off your shoes. You come to America, you commit tax fraud, right? Being polite. I mean, you gotta feel bad for the big banks. They're trying to cling on, but they serve no purpose except to exploit people. Most of their profits come from government subsidies, aka welfare, so they're only dominant until the masses of average people realize the truth and move their money elsewhere. Big banks are like Exxon Tiger Mart, all right? It used to be you were on the road, we would all, you know, we all bought our coffee there until we found out there were other places to buy coffee that didn't taste like the inside of a carburetor. So it's also the same for dirty fuel like coal. You know, we keep using it because we haven't realized there's something else to use. A new report shows that about 3/4 of power produced by the nation's remaining coal plants is more expensive for American households than renewables, including wind, solar, and hydropower. Oh, come on, wind? What are we, a pussy willow blowing in the reeds? Right? And hydropower? What are we, dikes holding back the water all day long? And solar, what are we, flaming hot suns getting power from nuclear fusion? No, we are big, tough men or women or non-binary. And we get our power by digging into the earth and burning the rocks from the core until the CO2 suffocates us to death. That's a strong thing to do, right? Right? Strong. It makes perfect sense to keep using the unsustainable, more expensive, more dangerous, extinction-causing fuel rather than the cheaper, sustainable, unlimited, readily available fuel. Right? And by perfect sense, I mean to say the coal industry is very powerful. And although we don't have show sponsors here at Redacted tonight, Big Coal has agreed to pay us a lot of money if we give them a product placement. But we would never do that here. Hold on, my desk is a little dirty here. I don't know what happened, but let's see. Let's clean that off. There we go. There we go. Yeah, Roundup. That's my choice anytime I want to get cancer. In fact, if you thought Roundup might be lying about how great it is at giving you cancer, this week, a U.S. jury says Bayer must pay $80 million to a man who got cancer from Roundup. And that is just one of thousands of similar lawsuits going through the courts right now. Bayer bought Monsanto, like last year, because they were in the market for billions of dollars of litigation. And Monsanto was willing to sell to Bayer because their brand likability ranked just below the bog of eternal stench. Actually, kind of looks like Roundup, doesn't it? The plaintiff in the suit, Edwin Hardiman, worked with Roundup for years before developing non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And see, that's the problem, though. That's the problem. It's not just Roundup that's at fault here. It's also working. Working at a job is bad for your health. It's terrible. If he hadn't been working, he would be fine right now. Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said recently, we should not be haunted by the specter of being automated out of work. We should be excited by that. But the reason we're not excited is because we live in a society where if you don't have a job, you are left to die. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Wow. My God. incredible. She touched the third rail of American politics, you know, proposing the idea that working our asses off until we collapse into a heap at the end of our life might not be the meaning of life. You can't say that as an American politician. You can say all kinds of other stuff. You can say that people should die because they can't afford health care, but you can't question endless work. You can say that people in other countries are dumb and sh**, but you can't question endless work. You can say that we should be surveilled, that there is no right to privacy, that bombing innocent civilians is okay, but you can't question endless work. You can lock your dog in a cage on the top of your car and drive down a highway for 3 hours. You can sexually harass numerous women. You can blurt out racist shit and have a history of war crimes. All of that, totally rad, but you can't question endless work. That is the American way. The American way. You're working a job you hate every day to be able to afford a vacation from the job you hate. You know, we have to fight automation because this system right now is perfect. It's a system built on the idea that we'll do anything for money. I mean, not me. I have the utmost integrity. I do. And on an unrelated note, I highly recommend coal. It is the only way to power this planet, all right? Also makes for a great snack. Good. Tastes like impending extinction. It really does. We have to go to a quick break, but I have live comedy shows coming up in Montreal, Detroit, Chicago, New York, Minneapolis, and Washington, D.C. Tickets are redactedtour.com. Go there, check it out. Also, other stuff.
Young elephants have come to us after especially brutal poaching incidents, because sadly the baby elephants often do see their mothers not only be killed but also be cut up and butchered.
I do believe elephants smile. I see it in these little ones. Their whole facial expression changes.
Bernie Madoff had an army and said, if you don't buy into my Ponzi scheme, I'm going to shoot my gun at you. Even though the Ponzi scheme was well known to be a Ponzi scheme. Remember, the SEC had investigated Bernie Madoff at least twice before they finally busted him. And it was a well-known Ponzi scheme invested by well-known people. Imagine if Bernie had an army. Now, apply that to the U.S. dollar. The U.S. dollar is a Ponzi scheme. Why do people buy the U.S. dollar? Because if they don't, the U.S. military is sent in and they're obliterated, whether it's Iraq or Libya or some other place like this, Iran. And so that's what Paul Krugman has said at the New York Times, right? He said the U.S. dollar is worthless. It's backed by violence.
Brexit Countdown on RT.
The National Christian Foundation, or NCF, is the nation's eighth largest public charity that gives money to Christian organizations. But a look at some of the groups receiving donations from them seems to reveal that NCF doesn't care much for the part of the Bible that says, love thy neighbor as thyself. For more on this, we go to our senior sacrilegious correspondent, Natalie McGill! Kelly, it sounds like the NCF is donating to some gnarly groups here, and they hold a lot of power, right?
And being that they're the eighth largest public charity, They're making that much harder for my charity, the National Christian Bail Foundation, to get any f***ing publicity.
What kind of charitable cause is he promoting?
What do you mean? His charity is his beautiful face. Look at it. We donate to that.
All right, I think your group needs to work on their giving strategy here.
Okay, well, we can do a hell of a lot better than the National Christian Foundations. All we have to do is not give tens of thousands of dollars to hate groups like the David Horowitz Freedom Center, whose founder called Muslims Islamic Nazis, and then hired anti-Muslim bigot Robert Spencer, who, according to the Council on American Islamic Relations, operates the blog Jihad Watch, which depicts Islam as an inherently violent faith. A man who went on a killing spree in Norway back in 2011 cited Spencer's blog 64 times in his manifesto. So with groups like that, you have to ask yourself, would Christian Bale have a blog named Jihad Watch? All right, even the movie characters he played wouldn't have a Jihad Watch blog. Not Batman, not that boxer in The Fighter, not Dick Cheney. Wait. Okay. All right, Dick Cheney would definitely do that. But not the others.
So the National Christian Foundation is donating to hate groups who inspire people to do hateful things? Call me crazy, but that sounds a little unchristian.
Lee, the NCF is just following what's actually the motto for the National Christian Bail Foundation, which is Christian in name, not in practice. Especially since NCF donations to anti-LGBT, anti-Muslim, and anti-immigrant hate groups rose to over $19 million in 2017. Plus, the NCF is a donor-advised fund, which means a person can make an account with NCF and ask them to give their money to whatever groups they want. And clients donate through donor-advised funds anonymously, so even the IRS won't know their identities. That way, they can hide their donation the same way I hide from group photos at an Imagine Dragons concert. Which, to be honest, is understandable, because in both cases, if we're found out, we'll be ridiculed for the rest of our lives.
Well, these donors should be ridiculed, though, Natalie. I mean, given how many Islamic charities and Muslim NGOs live in fear that they'll be accused of having ties to terrorism, all while a Christian organization doles out millions to groups that think gay people and Muslims are subhuman and shouldn't exist.
Well, not every charity is so deceptive. There's one called the Amalgamated Foundation, which actually launched a Hate Is Not Charitable campaign in March in response to NCF's donations. And they have a group of 20 foundations who make sure they aren't funding divisive groups like people who think Ben Affleck was the best Batman. I'm flagging that for hate speech.
Now there we go, everybody! Moving on, one of our favorite corporations, Nestle, is back in the news, and I'm sure it'll be only good news coming from the world-famous chocolatiers that bring more tears than chocolate. Redacted correspondent Naomi Caravani brings us the raging controversy.
Nestle, the largest food company in the world, is under fire for a brand of water it owns. It turns out Poland Spring is not from natural springs, nor from any springs, nor from the Poland Spring of Maine, nor from Poland, Poland. That would be Nalec... You know what? It would probably be more offensive if I attempted to pronounce it. Not one drop of Poland Spring water actually qualifies as spring water, a class action lawsuit says. Poland Spring speaks for herself in this ad.
I don't come from a tap. I come from springs. I am born natural. I am Poland Spring, 100% natural spring water.
On the one hand, that is authentic, because if water could talk, she would obviously sound like a phone sex operator gasping for air. But in the words of the plaintiffs, she's actually a colossal fraud perpetrated against American consumers. 100% fraud. So what is in every bottle? Is it the Nestle CEO's piss? Well, close. It's actually common groundwater that has been illegally mislabeled in order to reap massive undue sales. Ooh. Groundwater.
I think I could make it sound refreshing if I just say it with enough whimsy.
Groundwater. Water from the ground.
go outside and look at a pasture of animals grazing. Now think about licking that.
Spokespeople from Nestle claim the FDA, state, and federal officials already approved the sale of the water as spring water. The lawsuit says the company built and maintained 6 phony man-made springs to comply with the law. Regulators got suspicious when Nestle's employees started to congregate by the spring to talk about last night's episode of Orange is the New Black. Derivative, as usual. Is Poland spring the same as your sink water? No, it's worse. One or more of the company's wells are near a present or former human waste dump, landfill, or similar site.
I don't come from a spring. I come from dumpsters. Poser spring. 100% groundwater, urine, arsenic, and used cat food. Hey, bird, get off my water source. Get.
What's more disturbing is that Nestle has 49 separate brands of bottled water in 34 countries, and the company has been accused in the past of going to weak regions and buying water sources for next to nothing.
Backlash is growing over where the world's top bottled water producer gets its supplies. Nestle collects millions of gallons a year from springs in Southern California, an area that's actually prone to drought.
Well, this was all legal, as Nestle adhered to my age-old legal principle of findus keepus, patent pending. Then in Michigan, many say Nestle is partially to blame for the Flint crisis, where water is undrinkable. Nestle pumps 130 billion gallons a year of water nearby, but it does pay the state of Michigan $200 a year for that water. The Austrian CEO, who wants to control all of the world's water, comforted us in his native German that water should not be a human right. There's a cost to everything, even the slave labor Nestle faces lawsuits for using to source its cocoa. The company said slavery reporting requirements could cost customers. Breaking news, not using slavery will cost more money for you, not for Nestle.
Groundwater. No, thank you. I'll drink this 3-day-old coffee.
This is Naomi Caravani, reporting from Nestle headquarters. Redacted tonight.
Here are your headlines from the future. In July, you'll learn Pentagon pressuring Congress for extra $10 billion to build high-tech pit to hold all their money. And in 3 days, finally, after 55 years, local man successfully digs self out of his job. And now, that was kind of a sad laugh. I like that. That was. Finally, I hear you. Finally, 1 week from now, after losing court battle, Bayer execs point to all of Roundup's good work clearing world of butterflies and bees. Fair point. That's our show, but you can get exclusive content by texting the word.